going to speak to you today, but he told me something else. He sent me this message, and I thought I will do that. And he told me that the Holy Spirit is going to bring the message out. Amen? So I thought I would just read what the Holy Spirit told me about it. And it's taken in John chapter 16 and in verse 7 to 15. He says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And he said further on, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Can I repeat this portion in verse 13? "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Somebody say amen. "For he will not speak of his own authority, or whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." What an amazing passage for us to know that God has given us the Spirit of truth within us. And the next passage is Romans chapter 8 in verse 11. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Father, I pray that all these words will mean a lot to us as we begin to grapple the revelation of your truth. Help us, Father, to be a good host. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is given unto us, but we are called to be his host. How many of you have enjoyed good hospitality from a good host before? Amen. And I enjoyed good hospitality, and somehow I just want to go back again. You know what I mean? I just want to go back because it's so comfortable. There's so much blessing that you enjoy the fellowship, you enjoy the company of the host, because they were there to just make sure that you are happy to be with them. Am I right or not? So it is so important to be a good host. Likewise, as a church, we are supposed to be a good host to people who come for the first time. Sometimes it is a common trend and a common problem that Christians tend to get together among themselves and never want to meet new people. And this is what happened to one particular church. A man by the name of Bob. Maybe that is a fictitious name, but I thought I'd write this particular statement and comment that he made when he attended the church. And this is what he said: "We felt as though we were invisible. No one noticed that we were even there. I don't care how good the preaching and music were, nothing could have made up for their lack of hospitality. That church was as cold and lifeless as a corpse." Wow. That was a very strong statement. But it does speak a lot. It does speak about the church that he was attending. People can be very cold sometimes when we get ourselves too much with ourselves and not willing to be a good host to people who come to visit you. All right? And I know many of you are fantastic people. When I get over to your house, the first thing you will ask me, do you want a drink? Do you want to have some food? You know, thank God I don't love to eat too much food. I eat food, but I don't eat too much food. Amen? You should be happy with that. Amen? So next time you can call me back again. You know this pastor will not empty your fridge. Amen? Praise the Lord. And but if you have groundnuts, peanuts, just bring it out. Because, yeah, durian, you better bring it out. You better bring it out. We have a lot of unspoiled revelational truth about the Holy Spirit. I cannot leave without this special divine guest in my house and in my life. This unspoiled revelational truth tells me that the Spirit's presence within us will enable us to understand and interpret God's Word. This special guest will always reveal and enlighten the host what they should do and how they should go about with their life, because He is the Spirit of truth. Somebody say amen. He brings in truth into your life. He brings in truth into your home. And you are the host. At the same time, the Spirit of God reveals to our mind the entire counsel of God. The Bible tells me that He takes what's from the Father and reveals to you. Isn't it wonderful to hold somebody who has the entire revelation that can reveal to us, speak to us, and talk to us about how to live our life here on earth? You see, the Holy Spirit has applied for permanent residence in the hearts of every believers. PR. We applied, we go through when we came over to this nation. I believe that the Holy Spirit has made His application to come into your life with a permanent residence. He wants to live in you. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I want you to know that this special divine guest that lives inside us, He wants to fire you up. Somebody say amen. He wants to energize you. He wants to excite you. He wants to stir you up. He doesn't want you to be alone. He says, I am with you. When you know very well God is here motivating our lives and passionate about us, when you begin to host Him, there is a need for a constant interaction. There will be unbroken communion. How many of you know when you have a guest in your house, you don't leave the person aside? You want to commune with the person. You want to have a conversation, a fellowship. You want to have an interaction. And if you're hosting a guest that knows so much of certain things, you want to grab hold of his mind. You want to grab hold of something that you can learn from. And that's exactly what we should be doing. So, brothers and sisters, can I say to you today, we must be a good host of the Holy Spirit inside every day. The life of the church must host the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, it is so crucial, as you and I see, that God dwells in us for our sake. But He flows through us for the sake of others. So when there is a constant interaction with God, He began to speak to us. He began to motivate us and inspire us that we began to rise up with the strength of that faith. And then when we meet people, it flows out of us that when we speak life into others. We speak life into others. Because we have interaction with life. We have interaction with the truth. The Spirit of truth. He takes the revelation from above and speak to us and fill us with it. And then when we go out, when we speak to somebody, we will speak life as well into somebody's life. I just want you to know this very important truth. Is the Holy Spirit welcome in your life? If he is welcome in your life, I want you to know that the Spirit of God brings his gifts into your house. How many of you know that every time when we come to somebody's house, especially the Asians, when in Malaysia, when we go over to somebody's house, we will try to buy fruits, we will bring flowers, or we will bring baskets of something. Those of you in Malaysia, you will know this word, buah tangan. You know what's buah tangan? You come with a hands full of something. So that's the kind of hospitality we practice back home. And I saw the same scenario, the same picture here. The Holy Spirit comes to your house. He comes with his gift. Somebody say amen. He comes with the truth. He comes with something to bless you, to impact your lives. Do you welcome him? Do you know when the Holy Spirit is welcome, he brings his gifts into your house? And this is what we begin to see. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, the postmodern Christians today are less conscious of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seems largely forgotten. We never seem to take the Holy Spirit as an important part of our lives. We took the fellowship in the church as more important than the Holy Spirit. We love to talk with one another. And one of the things that we talk about is, well, what is your next plan? You want to go shopping? You want to go to the cinema and see? Nothing wrong with that. But then we tend to sway so much on that and we ignore the Holy Spirit. And that is why we never experience the outpouring and the energy and the inspiration and the motivation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can I say to you today, I believe the church today, the greatest days are coming when the church rediscover the power of hosting the holy presence of God. If you begin to rediscover this, you will enjoy the beauty of his presence. I encourage you today, host the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you host him, this is what he normally would do with you. You see, hosting the presence of God is not about singing and some songs and or having a church service in the body of Christ here, but it's more than that. The Holy Spirit wants to convict us. He wants to awaken us. He wants to stir us back to him. He wants to have the peaceful relationship with us. He wants to stir us into a deeper hunger and thirst for him. That's what the Holy Guest, whom we call the Holy Spirit, who is in us. He wants to do that. That's a great need for the Holy Spirit today. So when the Holy Spirit dwells inside us, I want you to know also that the Holy Spirit wants to spread his fragrance in your life. So when people come close to you, they know, they can sense that the fragrance of the Holy Spirit is in your life, and there's so much blessing about this man or this woman because of the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, he wants to spread all over us so that when you and I begin to enjoy the interaction, you enjoy his sweetness. When you host him, we must engage with the divine presence of God. There is something sublime, something spectacular, something lofty that can happen when you engage in his presence. Listen to this. It's just like when you enter into the presence of God with praise. I want you to know that he will enter into your circumstances with power. When you enter into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, he will enter into your circumstances. He will enter into your house with goodness. When you enter into his presence with power, with the authority, with triumph in your spirit, he will enter into your activity with conquest and also favor. You see, I believe God wants you to engage with him. But you need to host him who is in you. We keep claiming the word. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Are we hosting him? Are we hosting him? two portions of scripture to show you how important that we should host the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, in the same way, the Spirit help us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us to wordless groans. Exodus 33, verse 15. Moses said this very powerfully. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Do not send us up from here. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Brothers and sisters, we need the presence of God. And the Bible keeps telling us that He's in us. Are you with me? He's in us. I don't think you're getting there yet. He is in us. His presence is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Are you there with me? And so it is so crucial to rediscover this powerful experience when we start hosting the Lord in the right way. Let me show you a stark contrast today. Perhaps you still haven't got that yet. Look at Rahab's situation. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible says, Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the man Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. You see, this is exactly the favor of God that came and rested upon Rahab. That was the favor of God. This favor of God came is simply because she actually hosted two spies of God's people. Two spies. And God grant her favor. But on the other hand, I want you to see the next chapter of Joshua chapter 7. Achan hosted what God cursed. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regards to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Look at the following verses, the next one. In verse 20 to 21, in the same chapter, this is after Achan was exposed. They found out and discovered that he kept the accursed things of God. And he hosted them. He kept them. And listen to the scripture. Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Now, before you judge Achan, I think a lot of us will be like him. Because the moment you saw that, you conquered Jericho, and you saw all this lying around, and the gold is glittering right in front of your eyes. But the Lord already said, don't keep any of those things. Do not take any of those things. But Achan disobeyed, and he took them. Listen to the scripture. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tents. He hosted what God has already cursed. What are you hosting? Achan ultimately was completely destroyed, including his family, because he hosted what was not appropriate. What are you hosting in your house? What are you hosting in your home today? Probably some of you may say, Pastor, we didn't host any items, you know, like idols or anything. I'm not telling you about idols or any items. What are you hosting? What sort of attitude are you hosting in your life? Perhaps, may I read to you this particular portion? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 to 11. Are you reading? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral. What are you hosting today? Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. Oops. Is your Bible correct? My Bible say that. Is it the same one? Is serious? My Bible said that. Is your, wow. Men having sex with men? Did you see that? Wow. I thought only my Bible. You guys have the same Bible? But it says this, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Woo-wee. And in verse 11 says, and that is what some of you were. But I'm glad that the next part says what? But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, sometimes you can be hosting some of these attitudes in your home. Sometimes you can be hosting some of these characteristics in your home. God considered this as accursed. And maybe I read this to give you a better understanding. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 25. He says this. Listen, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. And listen to this. He says this. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And this, he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Don't forget the last part. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Which means to say, when I host the Holy Spirit in me, I need to keep my life in step with Him. Somebody say amen. When I host Him, I enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. But if I don't host Him, then we will be hosting the accursed things such as jealousy, fits of rage, discord, hatred, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and many more. These are the accursed things that will not allow us to enjoy the favor of God. So the question is, whom are we hosting? Whom are you hosting today? Are you hosting the attitude that God has cursed? Or are you hosting the Spirit of God that has the fruit of the Spirit? I look into the Scripture and I constantly ask why people, Christians, supposedly claim to have the Holy Spirit but are living in defeats almost every day. And I realize it's the power of hosting. We are not hosting the right things. We are hosting the wrong thing. And I want you to see in Joshua in whom we are hosting. Look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. And I want you to realize something here. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Listen to this. This is what Rahab said to the spies. He says, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on earth. How many of you know that whatever God does in a miraculous way, the news will spread? Somebody say amen. And this is what they heard. The fear came upon them. And he says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. You see, Rahab heard what God has done. And because she heard what the Lord has done, she hosted the two spies that came from Israel, the Israelites. Listen, when she heard something that God has done, the fear fell upon her. She hosted them, and in return, the favor of God rested upon her. I want you to know that I heard what the Holy Spirit has done. I have seen what the Holy Spirit has done. He has transformed lives. He has changed lives. Those lives today are no more the same. There were a group of people, business people, but they fell into drugs. And when they fell into drugs, they got so addicted, they were placed in the rehab center. And in the rehab center, the Lord did a miraculous. And when the Lord did a miraculous, the Lord changed their lives. And they rose up. After 5 years being clean, they came out and they carried on with their business, and today they are millionaires because they hosted, they heard what the Spirit of God can do in someone's life. They heard the miracles and the miraculous hand of God resting on people. They saw the miraculous hand of the Holy Spirit in the family. They began to say, yes, I want to host the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not know what you hear today, but I tell you what I heard. They thought by coming to church, they just, you know, just to clear off their conscience. Please, this is all lies after lies. Coming to church doesn't clear your conscience. It's about relationship with Jesus. Are you with me? And I say this one more time. It's about relationship with Jesus. You host the presence of the Lord in your life, and you're going to see the favor of God resting in your life. Can I hear an amen? When you host the right person, you will discover the benefits. But when you host the wrong person, you will discover the liabilities. Rahab hosted the people of God. But the Bible said this, she was a prostitute. Many of us were judged a prostitute straight away in our modern setting. And I have learned one thing from the scripture. It's not how wealthy, how rich. It's nothing to do with that. I'll tell you what. It's about your hosting. The prostitute has a very poor status. And some of you may be thinking of your worst position right now. Some of you will probably be thinking you have the worst status among many people today. You see, your past, your status does not determine the future consequence. It is whom you are hosting that will determine your future. Are you there with me? It is the hosting that will determine what sort of person you are in the future. Will you be defective or will you be effective? It all depends on whom you are hosting. Therefore, can I ask you today, are you hosting the Word of God? Are you hosting the Holy Spirit today? Because this particular guest, he wants to save mankind. Whom does the Holy Spirit prefer to dwell? Whom does the Holy Spirit prefer to dwell? I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in the host who does have a life, not the host does not have a life. How many of you know that Jesus doesn't dwell in the tomb? He was placed in the tomb. Somebody say amen. He was placed in the tomb. He did not dwell in the tomb. He dwelled among the people. He dwelled in the synagogue. He dwelled among the people living in the village as well. when I look at that, I realize the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in a person where dead things are living inside. If you have no life for Jesus, don't expect the Holy Spirit to dwell in that place. He only dwells when there is life for Jesus Christ. I'm trying to teach you to host the Lord rightly. If we host Him badly, do you know condemnation will drive the Holy Spirit away? Do you know that ungodliness will drive the Holy Spirit away? Do you know that these unfavorable attitudes that sometimes we keep will drive the Holy Spirit away? Do you know bitterness and all sorts of attitude that is inappropriate will always drive the Holy Spirit away? I do not know about you, but when I saw the news and the cameraman began to screen in the hottest house. And so when the cameraman screened in that place, I look at the hottest house, there is no space to move. There is no room to move around. Have you all seen hottest house? You have? But you know, I've seen that hottest house. It's horrendous, isn't it? And it stinks. It's smelly. And I want you to envisage that kind of picture. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants to come when your life is like that? He doesn't. I wouldn't want to come into a place where the place is not cleaned up or cleared up. You know, have some space to move around. And of course, some of you will probably say, oh, Pastor, if you come home, my house is pretty mess. Oh, you have not seen enough mess. I have. First time when I came over to Australia and I visited a family, I walked in, you know, in my head, I was just like, wow, this is a nice house from outside. Beautiful house. The moment I walked in, the house was beautiful, actually. Inside the house was clean. It was beautiful. The family, the parents looked after. Then I turned my eyes onto the very first room because the door was open. And the moment I turned in, the whole room was messed up. It's like typhoon just struck that room. All these personal, private items that the girl wears and is thrown onto the ground and onto the floor, onto the bed, and I was just so I started to look at it, and the parents were all very clean. The living hall was clean, the dining hall was fantastic, and the daughter's room was horrendous. They threw everything. Papers, rubbish, as opposed to throw into the bin, was not thrown. It was on the floor. But all the personal stuff, girl's personal stuff, wow! The door was open. Like it's like welcoming you to see what is happening. Crazy. I never seen that before. If you have that life like this, will you think the Holy Spirit will dwell in us? When there's so much filth and dirt and rubbish inside us, it will not be welcoming. Can you imagine me sitting in your house at the couch and underneath the carpet, your children clean up all the crumbs of the bread and everything underneath the carpet? And suddenly I sat down there, why is this bulging up? And I lift up the carpet and I, whoa, they sweep everything under the carpet. Can you imagine going onto the couch and dig inside and suddenly you have all kinds of rubbish? Brothers and sisters, that would not welcome the Holy Spirit. I think it's time to give an eviction letter to all these unworthy character. It's time to give an eviction letter to yourself if those characters are there. If you want to host the Holy Spirit, you must welcome the Holy Spirit. And I say this to you because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He receives what's from the Father and He reveals to you. When you welcome the Holy Spirit, there is an anointing that will flow. There will be a kingdom influence. There will be a kingdom transaction taking place when the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The second one and the last one. Hosting is as good as being a carrier of the presence of God. You remember the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. When the priests were told to carry the Ark in the book of Joshua and to take the very first step onto the river Jordan that was flooding at that time. You see, when you carry the presence of God like the priest, there is a need for extraordinary faith. You need to step onto a very unpredictable condition. You have to step into a dangerous zone with that extraordinary faith. But you can be rest assured of God's mighty hand. Can I hear an amen? But if that's the case, how do I go about with it? How do I go about hosting by carrying the presence of God? You remember the story of David, always known as a man after God's heart. Am I right or not? But before he came into the picture, and in 1 Samuel 4, 5, 6, and 7, you will notice that was the Ark of the Covenant that was taken away during the war. At one stage when the Israelites were fighting against the Philistines, or Philistines fighting against the Israelites, they were on a losing curve. So priest Eli, greedy sons, Hophni and Phinehas, went over Shiloh to take the Ark of the Covenant. And when they took the Ark of the Covenant, then they thought to themselves, we will defeat the Philistines. So they carry the Ark. As they carry the Ark, unfortunately, they were defeated badly. And what happened was the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. And when they took the Ark of the Covenant, they thought that they have the victory over the God of Israel. They put the Ark of the Covenant in front of their god called Dagon. Next morning, they found Dagon fell like as though Dagon bowed before the Ark of the Covenant. So they took Dagon, lift him up again, and placed him properly. Second day came, Dagon fell, and this time round, his hands and his limbs were all severed. So the Philistines were frightened, and they quickly took this Ark, ready to send back, and they sent it to Ekron. And when they sent the entire Ark to Ekron, Ekron saw the Ark, and the worst thing could ever happen is that they suffered tumors and they were suffering the red diseases. And so they were frightened. They packed everything up and they sent it out. And as the cart was carrying the Ark away, it went to another place called Beth Shemesh. And the Bible tells us, if you are not of God, you can't carry the presence of God. Somebody say amen. And so the Bible tells me that the Ark of the Covenant was not in Jerusalem for many, many years. Years after years, years after years. And Saul came into the picture. And he was in the picture of having war against the Philistines without the Ark of the Covenant. Then soon after, David decided to pursue the Ark and bring it back. So he delighted to have that Ark of the Covenant to be brought back. So let's jump the whole story and not talk about the process. But at the end, he got the Ark from this man called Obed-Edom. And because he saw that the blessings of God came upon the house of Obed. And so he decided to bring back the Ark. As they were carrying the Ark, brothers and sisters, he was celebrating. I want you to realize this. David learned to host the presence of God through this manner of celebration. He celebrated with praises. He celebrated with sacrifices. He celebrated with dance, shout, music, and singing. To me, this is called worship. This is worship. How do you host the presence of God in your life? Is to be a worshiper. Somebody say amen. He hosted the presence of God, the Ark of the living God. He carried it through and said, we must celebrate. They dance, they have music, they have sacrifices, and they were singing with all their hearts. I believe Jesus said, and have called each one of us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are we hosting our special guest today with worship? Are we hosting the presence of God in this church with worship? Are we hosting Him in our life with worship? Are you worshiping God? Let us be very honest with ourselves. I want to encourage you, church, rise up and worship the living God. Because this God deserves our praises. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised in the name of Jesus. When the people of God begin to worship Him, He says that the people of God dwells there. He will dwell among them. Do you know when you worship God, He will be with you every day? Worship Him every day. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Every Sunday is not about coming to church. Every Sunday is about coming to Him to worship Him. Somebody say amen. We need to worship Jesus. We need to worship Jesus. I find this is the way that we host the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is this. David hosted God's presence by making a place for Him. You look at Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17. So they brought the ark of the Lord. Now it came back. It was missing in 1 Samuel in chapter 4 onwards. After so many years passed, 2 Samuel chapter 6, they brought the ark of the Lord. And now it sat in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Did you see something here? He brought the ark to the place where he already erected for it. This is the place. This is the place that we host the Holy Spirit. We need to make room in our life for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to make room in our schedule with the Holy Spirit. We need to make room in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, a proud heart cannot host the presence of the Holy Spirit. A carnal mind cannot host the presence of the Holy Spirit. Michal, David's wife, she despised David for hosting the presence of God with celebration and worship. And God began to judge them. It is critical that we must understand what it means to host the Holy Spirit. There is a relationship when you host the Holy Spirit, and the communion must be intimate. When you host the Holy Spirit, there's something He's going to release to you because He has stored up for you. But when you host the wrong person and the wrong things, problems and disaster may come as a surprise. I'm saying this because the scripture keeps showing me what can happen. I can't help it but to tell you every time. It can happen. It can happen. Don't wait until it happens. Look at what God is saying. Host the Holy Spirit with worship. Host the Holy Spirit with the right attitude. Host Him because He is bringing His benefits into your lives. Host Him. The Bible tells me in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. That's exactly what the Lord's saying. I look into the scripture again and again, and I saw all these people hosted the presence of God. Mary hosted the presence of God. In fact, the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself hosted the presence of the Father. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. Peter, after Pentecost, hosted the Holy Spirit. Today, God is looking for a person to host His presence and to carry Him in the world. I want to close with this man called Smith Wigglesworth. He is a British evangelist, very influential in the early history of Pentecostalism. This took place in this article that I read from H.V. Roberts, New Zealand's Greatest Revival, that was reprinted in the year 1922, Revival Classic. And it was Smith Wigglesworth that came in 1951. Smith Wigglesworth oftentimes provoked his hearers to jealousy. And one particular document took place that they had a gathering to pray in New Zealand with Smith Wigglesworth's presence. Several of the leaders were praying. But when Wigglesworth stepped in and started to pray, the presence of God began to come into the room. It came in so strongly that one by one, the other leaders had to leave the room. As the account states, the room became holy. The power of God that was in Wigglesworth was carried into the room, and there was such a heavy weight in that room. Brothers and sisters, a man of normal stature, a man who loves God, a man who is passionate for Jesus, but when he started praying, the presence of God came. I believe you and I can do that. When you carry the presence of God into your house and you start praying, the presence of God will prevail in your house. Wisdom and authority will come into your heart and mind. And when there is a need in your house, you arise and you start praying by the authority of Jesus Christ, that the miracle shall break the curse in Jesus' name. You have the authority in the name of the Lord because you hosted Him in your house. Now listen carefully. It's not about the physical house. You hosted Him in your life. And when you host Him in your life, wherever you go, you carry His presence into that place. And when the enemy is there, something is not going to be right for them. Somebody who doesn't love Jesus, who hates Jesus, pretend to love Jesus, they will be shaken somewhere because they know the presence of God is there. I want you to know for sure, brothers and sisters, every demonic power will be cast out in Jesus' name. How do I know that? Let me close this meeting with this particular testimony I have. I was told by one of my church members back in Malaysia. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I have a colleague whose husband worships a Kali god, an Indian goddess, by the way. And she is very troubled because of the husband's behavior." How many of you know when you worship the God, it will become your behavior? When I worship the living God and the love of God and the kindness of God, that's what you should become. Somebody say amen. So if you don't worship the living God, you are who you are. All right? And so this lady spoke to my member. He says, I heard you're a Christian. Could you please help me with my husband's behavior?" And of course, my member says, "If it's a Kali goddess, I think I better get my pastor to come." All right? And almost immediately, I said, "Let's go." So I got two of my staff plus this member who is going to lead me to his colleague's house. So I went. We drove in one car, ready to pounce on the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. And so I went there, I was singing in front, and I was praying, in my spirit I say, "Oh Father, go before us, go behind us, Lord, be by our side, and we will go under the power of Your name." So we went there, we stopped running away. I said, "Is that house?" I quickly came out before the rest of the guys came out, and I saw him. The door was already open, ready to welcome us to into the house. So he came out from his couch, and as he was looking, and he saw me right at the external gate. You know, in Malaysia, our houses are like that. We have external gate, then the entrance of the door. We call it the outer court and the inner court. All right, so I went there, the gate, and I opened it because it was already unlocked, ready to go, and he saw me, and I tell you, no exaggeration, brother, he went like that and leaned onto the wall. I'll tell you what happened. When I saw that happening, I rushed into him. I want to give him a slap. No, I don't. I just want to give the demon a slap. Amen. And so I went him, I caught hold of him and put him down on the couch. In the name of Jesus, there is power in that name. And the demons came out. Brothers and sisters, how many of you want to give glory to God for that? Amen. when you carry the presence of God, the money won't shake him. You can be holding a highest position in your company, it doesn't shake him. You can have the best profession, it doesn't shake the enemy. But when you come in the name of Jesus, and when you host the Holy Spirit in you, when you host the presence of the Lord Jesus in you, and you walk right to them, they will be shaken in the name of Jesus. Somebody say it. Amen. And so, you can. It's not just a pastor. You can. This is not a story of a church member who says, my pastor, my sister in Malacca, that was my hometown, all right? He said, my sister in Malacca is doing her Form 6, like VCE time. And she's like seeing demons and she's experiencing demons. I said, what is it all about? What do you mean by seeing and experience? He said, this is what happened, pastor. She was sitting in the room, lying on the bed, and the radio was off. And all of a sudden, the radio turned on and the demon's voice spoke to her. She got frightened. She went straight into the library. Malacca Library, in case you do not know. She went into the library and there was no one. She was preparing for a major exam. She was studying and there was an old man with that little white hat and came to her and said, can I borrow your pencil? And she said, yeah, why not? And then started a conversation. And all of a sudden, the librarian, a woman, came over to her and she was standing there and talking and telling her, whom are you talking to? And that old man was still standing there. She just left her books, ran out of the hall, and called up the sister. He said, I want to come and see you. I cannot take it anymore. And she took an immediate bus all the way to Johor Bahru and came and stayed with this member. And this member of mine came and said, pastor, my sister is seeing demons and all that. I said, oh, okay. Can you help us? You want to help as many as you can. So another church elder came with me. You know, all these things, when you cast out demons, you need to bring somebody else, okay? Michael, are you ready? I'll bring you along. And then I said, And so I went. So they were staying on the third floor apartment. So there was no lift. Cheap apartment, so we have to climb up the staircase. Lo and behold, I've not seen this girl. I do not know who this girl is. But there was a girl that was standing by the railing on the top. And she was standing in front of my member's house. So I'm assuming it's her. So I was walking up and I wanted to say, hi, trying to be friend. She saw me and she walked into the house and told her brother-in-law and her sister and said these words, I don't like that man. Man, I like that. I like that. If the demon-possessed fella say, I like you, you better be careful. He says, I don't like that man. So when I came up, this member of mine said, pastor, she said she doesn't like you. She has never seen you before. I said, the demon has seen me before. And so, take her out. And so, this member of mine went to the room trying to pull her. She refused to get out of the room. Drag her forcefully, and in the name of Jesus, the moment she came out, hallelujah, we laid our hands and we prayed and we cast out the demons. She was like, oh, I say, oh, praise God. You see, brothers and sisters, when you carry the presence of God, they hate you. Remember that, bro. If the demon-possessed guy look at you and smile at you, hi, sexy guy, that's the end of you. It's true, brothers and sisters. Carry the presence of God every day. Are you with me? Amen? Let's give him praise and glory in Jesus' name. Come on. I want to conclude by asking you a very simple question which the Lord told me to bring it out to you. And he said this, whom are you hosting? Whom are you hosting? Are you hosting the Holy Spirit? Or are you hosting things that will end up in liability in your life? I pray today that you will take and consider the seriousness of hosting the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.